love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. This is the automatically deleted husband, still pursuing reconciliation with the woman he loves, because he's in love with his woman. And also the obedience to Christ thing, which I thought we shared, but I don't see any evidence of that. But I am going to pursue you in obedience to Christ because I love you. And, you know, it's remarkable. I had a couple discussions today, one with Chris, which was pretty hardcore. And I went to see briefly my friends Gary and Lynn because, you know, I was there yesterday for Thanksgiving, and I had the hives, and I wondered what caused it, what could it be? And we went over a few things, and then I was reminded they had green bean casserole, which I've always loved. I think it tastes great. What they made tastes great. I had two helpings. But what I realized was, in our conversation, I realized that it was made with a can of, was it mushroom soup or whatever. And that probably was, because that's something I simply don't have, the ingredients that are in that. It could be. Whether it is or not, or whether it's a factor or not, I don't know. But in our interaction there, you could see the warmth and the friendship that we have. And, you know, I think about the relationship I have with them. There is a real care there. I've seen it. The relationship I have with Chris, I think I see that in a different way, but I do see that real care. But with Chris, we, you know, the interaction we had in the scripture today was marvelous. It was intense. And, I wish I could share that with my family. But, you know, there was a reminder of the fact that a year ago, yesterday or so, is when I got the email from George. And I responded a whole bunch of times. A lot, often, repeatedly, and many times. And, you know, then, of course, there's the incident of sending the tie that was returned, unclaimed. Kind of leaves an impression in my mind, doesn't it? So, I did another video to George today, marking the anniversary. And it is just got finished rendering. I know this is going to be a shock, but it got long. It was 30 minutes. I'll send it in an email, but I think I'll send just the audio in the email because obviously it got long. But there's a point there. Because what I did, and I've only started, but I started looking at the videos I did last year for George. And I, you know, open your eyes, please. And I think you'll see a man who's maturing as a follower of Christ. Open your eyes and see that, please. I think the evidence is overwhelming. I look at the way I interact with people, not like I did before. Because to contend for the veracity of Scripture has become, you know, I'll go back to the example I've used before, the time we were at that store in Greensboro, asked for the book, how do we know that the scripture is what it claims to be? And, you know, I think I can do a pretty decent job of explaining why. But you have to be interested. Which is one of the things we Chris and I talked about today, you know, because there is the idea of contending in the public square, which obviously I've attempted many times, but there is a difference between contending in order to impose and contending in order to proclaim. And the scripture is clear: we're to proclaim, we're not to impose. And He's the one that imposes. And the ability to contend on that between Chris and I, because we hammer each other, because we want to be obedient to Christ, not to an institution. Well, before I get too long, speaking of institutions, I want to get this in before the weekend. I'm going to watch the video that I did, make sure it's right, and I'll put the link in this email. And I'll send the audio at least separately. But obviously I've been doing a lot of study and interaction with people on the mask issue. And especially whether it's the Daniel 3 or Romans 14 or, you know, I think in a sense it's both, but, in the process, you know, it was interesting. A study was just published yesterday, a randomized controlled study. Something that were actual science, you know, science meaning, you know, observed rather than simply the declaration of authority on whether or not wearing a mask protects other people from a virus. And again, and it's not the first time this has happened, but again, no, it doesn't. Not at all. So the people who are telling you to wear a mask, it's simply authority. I do say, if you want to wear a mask, also hold your hand over your heart and say, hail victory, because it's exactly what you're doing. But the other thing I found out about, because I wasn't aware of this until yesterday, and this is from like October or something of that nature, so this is old, but censorship is going on, big time. There's a thing called the Great Barrington Declaration, because it was Great Barrington is the name of the place they were at. And it's now been signed by thousands of doctors and then a bunch of other people. Basically saying it's fraud. It's the authorities get the major media. To find out these things, you have to look. Because it is a limited crowd that will proclaim this. The mask, the whole thing, is fraud. It's ironic. Because I just heard about this. Heard about it yesterday. A gentleman in Canada who owned a restaurant. And they shut him down. He said, no, tomorrow we're open for business. Made a big deal of it. We're gonna ignore the state. We're open for business. He had a huge crowd, and they arrested him today. And this is what happens when you go against the state. And the other thing that has come out is Canada has reported something like 10,000 deaths that they attribute to COVID-19. 99% of them. Over 99% of them, well, about 99% of them are in retirement centers. People who were basically at end of life anyway. 99%. This pandemic is a fraud. There is no pandemic. But it's being used. And again, I point out, it's being used for power, for theft, and for genocide. And I suggest what you'll see, if they can keep this up, 2021, we'll see genocide in a very real way. We probably already are, because, you know, a lot of the vaccines and the treatments and so forth that people are pushing, side effects of a lot of vaccines is infertility. Is in huge numbers. You can see this because the guy who is paying for the World Health Organization, the guy who is paying for the research by the various medical companies, is Bill Gates, and he's a eugenicist. He wants the useless eaters dead. And the best way to do that is to make sure they're never born. So this is a big deal, especially for my kids. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm really long. But you know, one of the things I've been studied on a lot is Hezekiah. Because you know, there are a lot of incidents, you know, especially when the Assyrians came to you know, give up, you know, and so forth, and the people sat in the wall and were silent. They didn't fight back. And this is where the Lord fought and killed 180,000 of them. It's the Lord's battle, not ours. And you see a lot of things where Hezekiah was obedient to Christ in so many ways. But then there was his last things recorded about him, where he kind of compromised. And then the Lord said, you know, you saw what I did, and now you're not trusting me. And he said, well, he was told that what will happen is there'll be great tragedy right after your lifetime. And his response was, what you say to the prophet was good, because at least he will be okay. That was a heartless end to a noble life. And I think about that. I think about what's happening to the world and what's going to happen to my kids. Do I want them to take it on? Or do I take it on as much as I can myself? I love my kids. I love my wife. And I have resolved to take it on as much as I can myself. Whatever I can take from them, I will take. Because I love my wife and I love my kids. Dorothy Jane, my lady, I love you.